we're still digesting the bleak news from the annual survey known as the Nation's Report Card on Student Achievement. The report out last week showed widespread declines since the era of the COVID-19 lockdowns. Math scores fell in nearly every state, and reading didn't improve much at all. Derek Thompson is asking the question on a lot of people's minds: how much of this bad report card is a result of school closure during the height of the pandemic? Thompson is a staff writer at The Atlantic. Hello, Derek.
Hi, good to be here.
So, Derek, since the news broke, other news organizations have been quick to challenge the idea that school closures are to blame for these low scores. But what evidence are you seeing that suggests otherwise?
So this study, the NAEP report card that you just mentioned, did not have any evidence in it that clearly indicted school closures for these declines in student achievement. And so a lot of people who just looked at this latest report card said, well, there's no evidence here that suggests the school closures were a big factor at all. The thing is, though, that other studies have already established a clearer connection between school closures and learning loss. A 2022 paper published by the National Center for Analysis of Longitudinal Data and Education Research, which is a lot of words, so sometimes they just go by Calder, found that shutting down schools and remote learning had, quote, profound consequences, end quote, for student achievement. Other studies, for example, by researchers at Ohio State University and by an Atlantic contributor, Emily Oster, have found the same. So while no one serious, I think, would suggest that remote learning is exclusively responsible for declines in student achievement, I do think that these studies suggest it played a role in the learning loss that we see.
And we shouldn't forget that. I mean, these studies have been out before this one. I do want to ask you, you know, we did see in this latest one that eighth graders in the Los Angeles School District, which is the second largest in the nation, so not an insignificant number of students there, that the eighth graders, despite this school district being closed longer than most, actually made reading gains. What do we make of that?
I don't quite know what to make of it, to be totally honest. It's a really interesting data point. As you said, Los Angeles schools did stay closed longer than almost anywhere else. And so if you believe that school closures inevitably lead to more learning loss, you would say, oh, well, then they clearly lost reading proficiency. But in fact, as you just said, they showed surprising gains in eighth grade reading proficiency. The district superintendent, Alberto Carvalho, credited what he called strong attendance for online courses and summer classes. That was a quote from the Wall Street Journal. So it's possible that Los Angeles found this sort of Goldilocks strategy for keeping schools closed while also finding ways to encourage strong online attendance, or maybe the internet connection, broadband connection is better there for low-income students, so that they didn't have the problems that other students had. But it's not entirely clear to me why Los Angeles is such an interesting exception to this general rule.
I mean, it also, Los Angeles is also a good place to use as an example because it's a largely Latino and Black student population, largely low income, but many of those parents supported the school closures. And so I'm just wondering, you know, does blaming learning loss on school closures ignore the role of parents and teachers, many of whom in these communities actually wanted the schools to be closed because they thought it would keep their children, their families safer?
It's a fantastic question. How do we reconcile all of these facts? And to be clear, everything that I'm about to say is a statistical fact. It is a fact that many of the districts that saw schools close for longer saw greater learning losses, especially among minority and low-income students. That, I think, is a fact. It is also a fact that many low-income and minority parents were especially supportive of policies to keep schools closed. According to one CDC survey, for example, more than 80% of Latino parents in 2020 said they would prefer to homeschool their children until a vaccine is available. It is also a fact that for a variety of reasons, Black and Latino parents were also more likely to have their kids enrolled in schools that were closed. In part, this is because of just the demographics of where minority people live in the U.S. compared to white Americans. But I have to say, it is a confusing overall picture that I think makes it harder to assign blame than some people want to. Some people want an easy moral story. They want an easy morality play. Here are the bad guys, here are the good guys. I think this is a much more complicated situation.
And just very quickly, you also point to the fact that globally, it may not just be a comparison here in the United States among school districts, but globally, especially in Europe, many schools didn't close, and they factored in the science that was new at the time, but said children weren't spreaders. We just have about 10 or 15 seconds. How much should we consider that?
Look, overall, I think we made a mistake. I think we kept schools closed too long. We kept schools closed too long, both in the face of information that school children were not playing a major role in community transmission and in the fact that these school closures were bad for learning loss. I think it was a mistake, but the question is how big of a mistake?
Derek Thompson is a staff writer at The Atlantic. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you.